So we've been talking about what does hope, what is our church, what do we really believe in? What are some of our core values? What are things that we say, this is, and listen, and I've got together with some leadership, and we kind of recognized, we didn't come up with these, we recognized what is, who is hope? What do we really believe in? What are some of our core values? And we've been talking about them, you know what? And we'll continue to talk about them today. Today I want to talk about the value of unity. The value of unity. Everybody say the value of unity. And you know what? I just thought it would be kind of fun to all stand. You don't stand up right now. You'll stand up in a minute. We're all going to stand up. We're all going to hold hands. And we're all going to sing. What are we going to sing? Not Kumbaya. No, that's old school. Kumbaya. No, we're going to sing, we are family. Okay. Right? I'm not going to make you do that. I'm not going to make you do that. But I do want to talk to you about unity. I want to talk about how valuable it is. And I want to just show you a couple of scriptures that I believe will help you to step into a new reality and to remind you, this is what hope is about. We're not about division. We're not about a certain group. We're not about a certain age. We're not about a certain style. This is a place where you can come, you know what, and learn the Word of God. And we don't care how tall you are or short you are. We don't care your background. It doesn't make any difference. We appreciate you, and we see value in diversity. We see value in diversity. We don't see it as a problem. We see it as a blessing. Amen. We see it as a blessing that we are different. And how many know we're all different? So we want to talk about that. How many know this is a value that God has? And ultimately, here, let me preach my sermon in 30 seconds. Less than 30 seconds. Are you ready for this? Yeah, wow, that is a good Father's Day gift. Okay. Well, I'm gonna preach my sermon right now. Here it is. Ready? Now I'm thinking of how the song goes. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. All right, honey, come on up. You are dismissed. No, I'm just joking. All I'm saying is that is my sermon. Red, yellow, black, and white. Listen, black and white. They are precious in his sight. That the reason why this is a value that we have at Hope is because this is a value that Christ has. You know what? God loves diversity. God loves that you are so much different than the person next to you. And they're different than the person next to them. He made us all so individual, but he loves when individuals who are completely different come together and say, we love that we're different. Amen? That is a blessing. That's a blessing. Now, society has said, no, that's a curse. And let me tell you what Satan does. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? Well, let me first explain this. Why do we at Hope, why do we love unity? Why is that so important? Here's why. Because where there's unity, there's power. You know, the Bible says one can send 1,000 to flight, but the Bible says two can send 10,000 to flight. See, and you know this because, you know, you're smart. You've got one horse, and let's say one horse can pull 1,000 pounds. Okay, you say, well, you get two horses. Now what can they pull? Oh, that's easy. They can pull 2,000 pounds. No, that's not true. I don't know what the number is, but it's something like they can pull 3,000 pounds or something like that. It's significantly greater that two of them together, it doesn't multiply it by two. It multiplies it by a higher power. We see that, and that's true physically. It's even more true spiritually. One can send 1,000 flight. Let me tell you what. You by yourself are powerful. But you're not as close to powerful as you are if you will unite with somebody else. And the Bible says two are very powerful, but it says that a third person comes along. What did it say? The third cord thing, you know, whatever. Threefold cord. That's what I was trying to get. It cannot be broken. See? So what happens if a people will decide with our differences to say we will appreciate our differences. See, what will happen? Let me tell you what. Power. That's what happened. I love what Tamara said in the first service, that, you know what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Why in the world? The Bible says these mighty things, supernatural mighty things, were done by the hands, listen to me, by praise God, by the hands of Jesus. No. We're not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I'm talking about Acts. The Bible says that mighty wonders were done by the hands, you know what, of the apostles. Let me tell you about the apostles. The apostles made a decision that they were going to be united. And the whole early church got together, and they would sit at the apostles' feet, and they made a decision that the Bible says over and over again in Acts, it says, and they were in one accord. The Bible says, tells us, it says it like this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Let. Everybody say let. Yes. See, you have to, what was the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was a spirit of humility. But the mind of Christ was also a spirit of unity. It's also a spirit that said, let me tell you what, I'm going to do whatever it takes to have everybody be able to come into the family of God. Everyone. Red, yellow, black, and white. Everyone. It doesn't make any difference. Everyone has sinned, and I'm going to go to the cross that anyone who wants to accept me can accept me and come into the family. Because let me tell you what I'm in. I'm into a big family. I'm into a different family. I'm into a family where everyone has different shapes, different sizes, different things that they like to eat. Amen? 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 Well, what will divide us? Well, you choose. Because let me tell you about Satan. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? He does that by dividing. We see it in the New Testament. We see it right away. We see it in the first book of the Bible right away where Satan comes to Eve and he's going to divide. Here's why. Because he wants the main person he wants to divide is you and God. Amen. It's the main person he wants to divide, you and God. And he's trying to do that right away. And he says, and he starts to throw an accusation of God. No. God's not a good God. God is kind of good, but you know what? He's got these ulterior motives. He's not being truthful. He's got something inside that he's keeping from you. That's why he told you not to eat of this fruit. Now, let me tell you, this is absolutely not true. But Satan won't tell you the truth. And he's saying, let me tell you about God. God has this different motive. And what he's really trying to do is really, if you eat that apple, you're going to have knowledge like he knows. He's trying to keep something from you. What's he doing? He's dividing. And he does the same thing to you today. One of the conferences we do, we talk about the difference. Or Eckrich, the teacher of the conference, talks about the difference between men and women. How many know men and women are so different? Yeah, I heard some laughing. How many know they are way different? You know what? But I love what Eckrich says. He says that this differentness, because here's what we do. We go, you're different. But what we don't go like, you're different. We go like this. We go like, you're different. Did you catch the attitude? See, we need to value. And what will Satan use? Satan will use anything. He doesn't care. He will use anything. I wrote a list. This is such a good, bad list. Okay, you catch that? He'll use anything. He'll use race. He'll use color. He'll talk about females and males. You know what? He'll use class warfare. You know what? The rich versus the poor. Political parties. Age. You know what I mean? The older, you know what, we like doing it this way. This is how worship ought to be. Amen? Then the younger is this is not how worship should be. Amen? No. He'll use all kinds of anything. Oh, preferences, phone preferences. Okay? Isn't that right? You know what I mean? How many got an Android? Okay. See, I see. Some of you with apples, you're like, I don't know. Right? I'm like, that's so ridiculous. As silly as that. But how many know Satan will use that? He'll use any of it. You know what? No, we're up. You know, Apple people are cool people. You know what I mean? How many remember high school? How many remember the pretty people in high school? You know what I mean? Okay. Pretty people are here. You know what? The dorky people over here. The nerds are over here. Okay. All kind of, you know what? We're like this. You know what? We're better. We're in this group. This group is better than that group. And it's anything. Why? Because here's the truth. He divides to conquer. He divides to conquer. So we say, you know what? No. Let me tell you. You know what? You know, my wife. He'll even use, you know what? He'll even use food preferences. Hello? My wife. Oh, you know, she'll go in the kitchen. Oh, what are you making, honey? Oh, I'm just chopping some cabbage. Oh, what are you making with that cabbage? Oh, nothing. I'm just, here, true story. She puts cabbage in a bowl, and then she puts vinegar in the cabbage and puts some seasoning on it and goes back and starts eating it. I'm like, that is the grossest you're eating. You put vinegar in the cabbage and you're eating? Oh, God, help you. You know, hello? Some of you like it, it's like, oh, God, help her. Some of you like, that's good. I'll do that too. Does God help you? Right? Yeah. Yeah. You're like, hey, maybe you ought to eat some of that cabbage. Maybe you ought to eat some of that cabbage. Right? Okay, I get it. All I'm saying is, and it's good that we're able to laugh at this, but can I tell you what? Can I talk to you about something serious? Let's just talk about that division between male and female. Because the reality is, you know what? There is a big divide happening in our country. And it's happening all kinds of ways. But let me tell you one of the ways it's happening. It's happening where the female... Ladies, don't get mad at me. This is a church where, listen, we are here to help. And sometimes the help is real, you know what I mean? Like a doctor. You ever, you know, a doctor and they're like, you know what? You're like, you know, oh, yeah, you got to check my arm. And then doctor, what's the first thing he does? He's like, touch your arm. You're like, don't touch me there. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's what we can be. But he says, no, if you want me to help you, I got to touch that place where it hurts. And so I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I'll talk about the men in a minute. You know what I mean? Because somebody goes, when are you going to get to the men? I'll get to them. We got our issue. No, I'm sorry. It's Father's Day. I ain't going to talk to them today. No. No, I'm just, you know that's not true. I'm going to talk to you anyway. But here's what I'm saying. Ladies, understand. Listen, I love you. You are not superior to your male counterpart. Didn't hear any lady. Amen. No, let me just tell you again. You are not superior to your male counterpart. But we have a society, and that's what we teach. That's what we, you know what? And let me tell you what. And they are absolutely serious because they think that. And Eckrich teach us. No. Let me tell you what. What she eats, what I eat is not superior to what she likes. See, one is not superior. It's just different. But we have a hard time to think that way. You know what? Tamara will look at me sometimes and she'll think, what are you thinking? Like, how do you? And she don't get it. And she'll say, are you serious? And I'll be like, yeah, I don't understand why you don't get that. You know what I mean? You know, everybody does this. I mean, because in my mind, I'm thinking everybody does that. This is making sense to anybody. But you got to understand, God loves diversity. He loves the fact that we're not the same. He loves the fact that we're different. In the diversity is where the power is. See, understand, there is power in numbers. There's power in numbers. And so what we have to do is we have to recognize, why? Because, and in marriage, this is a beautiful thing. How many recognize, I mean, I'm just asking, if you're married, how many recognize you, how many would raise your hand and say, my wife or my husband is so different than me? Raise your hand if it's a so different, raise your hand if it's like, okay, why? That's by design. See, you were dating each other, and he was different than you. And you're like, oh, I love it like he, because he's like this. Right? And now the thing that you love, now you're mad at. Makes me so mad. No. Go back to loving him for that. And vice versa. You loved her. Now you're like, oh, I don't believe. You know what? No. She's not like you on purpose. And God has a setup. You know what I mean? What would a teacher do if somebody in her kindergarten was coloring, and every single picture he just used blue, just blue, the sky was blue, the trees were blue, the frog was blue, everything was blue. And then he colors something out, and the house is blue, and the people are blue. Everything's blue. At some point in time, that teacher's going to go, hey, don't you want to use another color? Can I tell you what? God takes blue, and God takes pink, and he puts those two together. And as they're together, they start looking more like God. Blue and pink form what? Purple. That's God's plan. You're like, oh, I don't like God's plan. Well, listen, God's plans are higher than your plans. His ways, he's smarter than you. And by marrying you up to someone who's completely different, you know what? He helps you look like Jesus as you recognize, no. I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to think the way I used to think. I'm going to put her, just because she's different doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's different. Is this making sense to anyone? Yeah. Satan will use anything to divide us. And in hope, we have made the decision that we are going to have the mind of Christ. And we are going to celebrate different people. We're going to celebrate the difference. You know what? It's like anything. You know what? Oh, you know what? We got a drummer here, and we got a drummer here, and we got a drummer here, and we got a drummer here. You know what? We said, Hope, we like drums. What kind of worship is that? You go, oh, no. It's the diversity where the beauty is. It's in the diversity where the power is. It's the diversity where the completeness is. Now, it's also the diversity where the irritation comes in. Is that not right? But it's in the irritation that causes you to walk in love. Amen? How many know one level, you know what, it's easy to just hang out with somebody who's easy to, I remember Joyce Myers, you know, I remember Joyce Myers taught me this. Like, yeah, man. Yeah, Joyce Meyer. I don't like Joyce Meyer. Hello? Can I tell you what? We make all kinds of judgments. You know what? I don't like this. You know, I don't like Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn. I hate Benny Hinn. You hate Benny Hinn? Yeah, because he's too dramatic. Well, you sound pretty dramatic right now. Speaking of drama, you sound, you know what I mean? Or I hate this, I hate, you know, listen, shh, quiet. What kind of talk is that? You hate some, and listen, I'm not saying Benny Hinn ain't my style. But let me tell you what, I love Benny Hinn. Because let me tell you what, Benny Hinn has a heart to see people get healed. Yeah. And Benny Hinn has a heart of seeing people, you know what, come to the knowledge of Christ. See, what are we doing? I remember one time, you know what, I was helping my father-in-law. You know what we're doing? we're hitting our body. Don't criticize Benny Hinn. Don't criticize, but you know what? Whoever it is, you know what? Joyce Meyer. You know, listen. Maybe you like coffee instead of tea. Maybe you like tea instead of coffee. Maybe you like Benny Hinn. But what I'm saying is, stop hitting your own body. We are together the body of Christ, and it just makes no sense. I remember one time we were, I was helping my father-in-law, and he was an apartment manager, and I was over there to help him, and they had these wall units, these air-conditioned wall units, and they'd been in since the building was built. So they'd been in for like 30 or 40 or 50 years, long time. So they weren't coming out easily. So he had this sledgehammer, but one of the handheld sledgehammer, and would hit it on one side, then would back up and hit it on the other side, and just a little bit at a time. It was really, really tedious work, especially at the start. It took a lot of effort just getting it out, loosening it up. But we had done several of them, and I kind of knew how to do it. So I was hitting the one and hitting the other and going back and forth, hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. It was starting to come. The thing was heavy, and I went whack. And then I recognized I did something really, really stupid. I missed the unit, and I hit my knee with that. And I got all of a sudden instances. I got revelation knowledge. Okay. And here's the revelation knowledge. Don't hit your own body with a sledgehammer. Can I tell you what? Here's what the Bible says. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Can I tell you what? We need to stop hitting our own body. We need to stop criticizing our husbands. We need to stop criticizing our wives. We need to stop criticizing our children. We need to stop seeing people as they are wrong. No, they're not wrong. They're different. And there's all kinds of diversity. But we have to. Listen, and let me make this clear. Let me make this clear. Because I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not saying that there's not things in the body of Christ, there's not principles that this behavior is wrong. If you think I'm saying, oh, God just let you know anything you want is, if you think this sermon is like, it's all good, you know what I mean? You just, God, he loves everybody. He does love everybody, but he loves people enough to say that behavior will not produce good in your life, and you need to stop that. If you think this is a sermon of saying, there's no sin, it's all good, that's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to recognize there's one God, there's one lawgiver. If he says it's right, it's right. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. I think I can get a bigger amen than that. Amen. He's right. And one of the things that I want to teach you is that one of the things that he says is there's some things that I hate. You know what? One of the things that he hates? Those who sow seeds of discord. He says, listen, this is such a strong statement. Because here's what he says. He says he hates the ones that are sowing seeds of discord. Now, I don't know what you do that with that, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. Here's what I know. If God says something, then he is the one who needs to teach us theology. We don't need to teach him theology. Here's what he says, that he hates the ones that are doing that. Because let me tell you what it does. It causes such destruction in people's lives. And that's what Satan did. He sowed seeds of discord to Eve. And Eve, listen to me, Eve is getting ready to leave paradise because he listened to Satan. Listen, here's what he says. No, God knows as soon as you eat that fruit, you know what? You're going to be like God and you're going to know all this stuff and he's keeping something from you. And we sow seeds of discord all the time. You know what? My wife's like this. You know what? That pastor's like this. Oh, no, I know. I know. I know why they did that. They did that because of this. Can I get real with somebody? You don't know that. No, I do know that. Because they've always been that way. That's how they've always been. Well, let me ask you this. Would you like people to judge you based on who you were 5 years ago? I'm asking. Would you like, you know, listen, there's things that I want somebody to judge me, not on 5 years ago. There's things that I don't even want people to judge me from 5 weeks ago. Some, oh, I don't. No, you could say amen to that. No, I want them. I've learned something, and I'm moving forward. And I want to say, no, I know how they were. I know. No, you're right. You know how they were, but you don't know how they are. And let me ask you this. And what if they still are that way? Don't you want people to be pulling with you, not against you? That's what I want. If there's an area in my life that is not perfected yet, you know what? I don't want you to come against me. I don't want you to go, oh, you're like this. I want you to come and help me out of this mess. And how many know it don't help me out of this mess by calling the things that are as though they are? You know, does anybody go to the barber? You know what I mean? You go to the barber, you sit down, and you go, oh, and he goes, what do you want? Nothing, man. What you doing here? Amen? I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. I want to be different than I was, and I want to continue. You know what? As godly as I am. Didn't hear any amens to that. Okay. As godly as I am, I want to move forward. I want to get more godly. And what I don't, or say it like this, as ungodly as I was 6 months ago, I don't want you to judge me 6 months ago or 6 years ago or even 6 weeks ago. And if I do need some help, and I do, you know what I want you to do? I want you to believe the best for me. What's that? Let me tell you what that is. That's going to provide unity. Instead of looking at one side saying, you're like this. Let me tell you what Satan does. Because what he wants to do is he wants to separate you from God. He wants you to say, no, I'm mad at God. God did this. He caused that. He didn't do this. Whatever hurts or whatever pains you have, you know what? He wants you to become embittered, and ultimately he wants you to blame him. And I'm saying today, stop it. There's no one who loves you more. You are, listen, guys, you are completely, I know it seems like another way, but you are completely missing it with God. Because in God, there is only love. That's all there is. Amen. So you, and I need to understand, he's trying to separate you from God. But as soon as he separates you, what does he do next? Here's what he does. So then he wants to, at that point, he wants to separate, because what does he do? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. How does he do that? He does that by separating, by dividing and conquering. Divide and conquer. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get you. So what do we say? We say, well, you know what? Ooh, look at that group. You know what I mean? That group's not like me. Listen, and we say, no, because my group is superior to that group. No, you're not superior to that group. You're different than that group. It's your, love you guys, I'm smiling, right? It's our arrogance that says our group is better than that group. Amen. Amen. And we do it now, and I'm just going to park here for a little bit. We do it now mainly, one of the main ways we see it in America now is male versus female. And you're justified. You think, no. I'll tell you what I told the first service. And this is strong, but I need to say it. You know what? You know that one race isn't superior to another race, right? Y'all know that, right? You know what? One race is not superior to another race. It's just not true. They're different. But you know what? The same righteous indignation that you would have and you'd be right to have if one group said they were superior to another group is the same righteous indignation you need to have towards yourself when you think that your maleness is better than femaleness. Or your femaleness is better than maleness. No, your husband is different than you. He's not wrong. He's just different. And it's time that you stop thinking he's wrong, because God made him like that. We're not talking about, you know what, man, justifying yourself from lusting.
Well, just, God made me to look at women. He made me visual. What am I supposed to do?
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. We need to say, no, that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that anymore. Because let me tell you who it's hurting. It's hurting us. And the wonderful diversity that God has made. I mean, listen, I love vanilla ice cream. But vanilla ice cream is way better with some chocolate syrup on it. It's just way better. And we're better with the diversity that we have. And Satan tries to tear us apart. There's power as we come together. But Satan wants to divide us. Can I tell you what? At Hope, we love diversity. Let me turn to a couple of scriptures real quickly. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. Philippians chapter 1. Just look up here on the screen with us. Philippians, I'm on my last point, guys. I'm at point 4. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. Do you guys have that? Okay. Okay, thank you. Faith 25. Let me find it in my Bible. Starting with verse 25, and be confident of this, that I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your process and joy of faith, and your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by the coming to you again. Now listen to this. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, what you're doing, that you might stand fast in the Spirit, which with, watch this, with one mind striving together for the unity of faith. That you might, watch this, with one mind, that, let me go up, that you might stand, that you stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith. Striving together. Everybody say striving together. Okay. So here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to all come together. Imagine that we're in a boat. And imagine that you guys are saying, well, I think we should row like this. And this group's saying, I think we should row like this. And this group, I think, you know, how fast do we go? But what if we had the mind of Christ? What if we said, okay, you know what? We're going to have the mind of Christ, and we're going to follow what Christ said, and we're all going to do what he says. We're going to row the way he says. See, when we all start rowing together, how fast does this boat start going? It starts going crazy fast. And the minute that one person starts to say, yeah, I know that, that's how, but I like doing it like this. See, that is our world. That is the attitude of the United States. And praise God, we all have our own way of acting and things that we like. But can we not come together? Can we not see the power of agreement? Can we not see the calling that God has to say, listen, even though we are so diverse, we are coming together with the mind of Christ to say, listen, this Pico Rivera needs a church that they're united, and people need to understand that importance because people need to get saved. Yes. Let me just give you a practical instance. I don't know if you liked the songs today, but isn't it awesome whether you liked the songs today or whether you didn't, you were united to say, hey, they're singing about Jesus. That's good. And even though that might not be my style, it might not be my tempo, I kind of like more a country twang kind of stuff. Even though that might be your deal, you are making a decision that you are going to submit your will to the will of somebody up charge right now. Isaac's making the decision and saying, we're going to do this. Does this make sense? You know what? Listen, if you, some of your workplaces are so full of strife that you don't even want to go to work. Like, oh, you know what? Some of you got to pray 15 minutes before you go into work because it's so stressful. It's so, see what the Bible says, where division is, there's confusion and every other evil work. And you're working in workplaces that are like that and you hate it. You don't have to raise your hand. All right, no. And let me tell you why you ate it. You ate it because you sense the spirit of yuck. What is that? That's a spirit of division. And let me tell you what. At Hope, we're saying, here, not at this church. At this church, we are going to decide. We are going to pre-decide that we're. I know the songs because Isaac, you know what, tells me what the songs are. Actually, anyway, I didn't even know the songs this week. I didn't come, ooh, you know what? I hope the songs are the songs I want, because if they're not, I'm not going to worship. Right? Yeah. And what is, and how, who do you think that attracts? You think people can't feel that? You think people can't sense that? Let me tell you why a shared value we have is we are deciding to be united because that's the spirit of Christ. And that's the spirit that people come in and the anointing is here and it breaks the yokes and that makes way more difference to me. That's what he's saying. He's saying strive for the unity of the faith. Make a decision that we're going to be united and we understand who the enemy is and it's not Isaac because he picked a different song that I didn't like. Hello. No. I'm not against Isaac. I'm for Isaac. He's on my team. Amen. And you're on my team, and we're together. And together, we can make a big difference in our community. Together, we can start changing. Together, people's... Let me tell you what. You know what one of the reasons why your life was changed when you came in this church? Because we made that decision a long time ago. It's so critical. How many hearing what the Holy Spirit says? And that needs to go into your house. Some of your homes are full of division because you've made a decision that, you know what, you just are not, you know what, you just, it's just wrong. You know what, the spaghetti shouldn't go there. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No, listen, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And there's some high stakes that are going on, i.e. your kids. And you better make a decision that a house, you know, I love what Tamara said in the first service, a house divided, you know what, amongst itself, it will not stand. One more portion of scripture and I'll close. It's in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 8. I want to say two things, because there are two things that he's going to talk about here. Pay attention. He's going to talk about behavior. Everybody say behavior. And that these people, as diverse as they are, that they be united. There be this preconceived. There's got to be a preconceived decision that I'm going to be united, even though somebody is going to be, you know, have a different opinion than I am. And again, we're not talking different opinion. We're not talking about, we'll make a predeceived decision that we are going to have the mind of Christ. That our opinion doesn't matter, his opinion matters. Okay, so two things. He's going to talk about your behavior and you being together. Their behavior, the church, them being together, and how they act, how it gets played out. But now You yourselves are to put off these things. See, this is how you're supposed to act. You want to be united? You better make a decision. This is how you act. Say, this is how I act. See, Christians act a different way. Watch this. Put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Dude, make me so mad. Oh. Filthy language out of your mouth. Pastor, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. You understand what I'm saying? Look. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Your behavior, to how you treat each other. God is talking to us. He's saying, here's why I want you to treat each other. Stop being angry. Stop being embittered. You know what? Stop having wrath and malice, blasphemy. Oh, it makes me so mad. Stop it. That's not, and don't lie to each other. See, he's talking about behaviors to each other. This isn't generic. This is specific. Watch this. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and its deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There is neither, listen to what he says, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian nor Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He's all in all. Bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. Ever say bearing with one another? Listen, your strengths are not their strengths. And so you go to fix a door, and you're like, how do we fix it? I'm not sure. And you know what? And you start to fix it this way. But somebody who knows how to fix that door, listen to me. Instead of judging you that you don't know how to fix that door, they need to go, no. They need to, watch this. They need to bear with you. You know what that means? It means they are helping your imperfections and acting like you're fine, even though they know you're not fine. Right? Isn't that what you want? Bearing with one another. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If everyone has a complaint against another, if you have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. Your behavior towards each other. Yeah, but they made me mad. Can I tell you one of the things that will cause you to not walk in unity? It's unforgive heart. And God says, stop it. Be together. Love each other. Bear with another. Act like they don't have that imperfection. Watch it. Until God helps perfect them. Let me just ask, can you perfect them? Let me ask again. Can you perfect them? You can't perfect them. You know what you can do? You can bear with them. You know, don't you love when somebody doesn't, in the first service I was trying to read this passage of scripture, and I just wasn't getting it. I don't know why. I just kept on messing up. Could you do me a favor? Can you just act like I'm a good reader? I'm not saying don't help me. I'm not saying don't correct me. I'm just saying, isn't that how you want? Can I tell you what? It's the love of God that leads people to repentance. Can we stop hurting each other? Can we stop hurting ourselves? Because we're all in Christ, are we not? So, and how many know, maybe you're not a good driver. How many know everybody thinks they're a good driver? Okay. Maybe you're not a good driver, but maybe you're a good cook. How many know God puts us all together, and guess what he has in the body? Now he's got good drivers and good cooks. Amen? Somebody hear from God today? Somebody glad they came today? Were you challenged today? Listen, were you... Did you feel the jab of God somewhere? Can I tell you about God? He's got a beautiful way of hugging you with one hand, reaching on over and give you a nice swat or the other. And you feel the swat, and you know it's him swatting you, but you feel the love of Christ. That's a loving Heavenly Father. Sweetie, can you come on up?
It's so important. I was saying in the first service, when we were at camp, and we had a great time at camp, not without our challenges, but it was just a very special time. And from the very first night, our guest speaker was very complimentary of our church and who we were. And he continued on the last evening, and he continued to speak with Pastor Drew and I just privately. You know what? He was very, very, I would say more than, I want to say impressed, but what is that? He was very, very happy to see what he was seeing. What was he seeing? He was seeing something very different than what he's used to seeing. He said to everyone that was at camp the first night, as well as to us privately, he said, man, I travel a lot, and I see a lot of pockets of the body of Christ. And wow, this is awesome what you have with your people. And he said, pastors, I just want you to know, I know that that doesn't come, you know, just by accident. That is a reflection of where you're leading them. Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Where are we leading everyone? What are we doing here at Hope Community Church? We're making disciples. Disciples do what? They come, they hear, they do. And you know what? And we read our Bible every day and think, da, 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 and we will do, right? That's, a lot of people can know God's word. A lot of people can quote, Satan quotes God's word. He knows it. He can quote it. But he's got a whole different agenda, opposite of God's, by the way. Everything is Christ and Antichrist. There's no middle of the road. What's the Word of God tell us? You're either for me or you're against me. God's real clear about this. So this unity is so powerful. But not just unity. See, even Satan gets how powerful unity is. What are we unified in? Look at our nation. We have been taught for years through all kinds of areas a unifying of thinking, trying to get us to think opposite of what God says. That unity actually brings a lot of division, which is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to bring in division, because in bringing in division of God's way of thinking, he can get us all thinking his way, which is, who's to say what's right and wrong? It's wrong to have any absolutes. They've been teaching that in the schools for years. Why? Trying to frame the minds of our children that there are no absolutes. They used to call it outcome-based education. Look it up. Way back started. Why is this such an agenda? Because everything is Christ and Antichrist. So it's not just being unified, but it's being unified in the teachings of Jesus Christ. See, that's what we're about. We are about, we're disciples who are about having lordship to Jesus. And so he tells us to have the mind of Christ. See, that's how we're supposed to think. We're supposed to think the way that God thinks. That we're to be one body. That we're to have the heart of God. We can't just all, well, you know, it's all good. No, it's not all good. It's not all good. And you'll be crucified out here today to think half the things that the Lord tells you to think and the way that he tells you to think. We're to do things. God tells us that his ways are higher than our ways. They're better. Well, who are you to say what's right? Huh? That's the world. God says, hey, my ways are better than your ways. It's not up for discussion. Do you get this? It's very, very absolute. Bible tells us there's only one lawgiver. There's only one judge. And guess what? It's none of us. In other words, we don't get to say what's right. Well, you know what? I just think that this is okay. Well, I just think that that is not okay. We're not the ones that get to come up with it. What's okay is what he says is okay. What's not okay is what he says is not okay. End of discussion. One mind, mind of Christ. That's what God is trying to unify us to be his body. The Antichrist spirit is unifying a bunch of people to be opposite of what God says. What's that all about? You're either going to worship him, or you're going to worship him. How do we worship him? By following them. So God's very, very absolute in what he wants. Come here, do. And so we as the body of Christ, as we unify ourselves in what? In his teachings, there's power. And the enemy knows that there's power there. That's why he wants us to come up with different ways of thinking. That's why he wants to muddy it up. That's why he wants to pit us against each other. That's why he wants you to have a real strong opinion about what should and shouldn't be. That's why he wants you to have a critical spirit about things. Because he's trying to divide. Because in that dividing, he's able to hinder power. When all the miraculous things were happening in the Word, the Bible's very clear that they were all there, and that these were who? Who's they? The believers. And they were all in one accord. Trust me, we got a lot of thinking in this room. Some of us think exercising is great, and some of us think not so great. Some of us think this, some of us think that. We could just go all kind of, we all just think differently. I'm telling you that already. But when it comes to our conduct and running our life and how we treat one another and what's right and what's wrong, and there is such a thing as right and wrong, it doesn't matter what you think and it doesn't matter what I think. We submit ourselves to the Word of God. We look and we say, well, what does God say about this? And then we do it that way. And that's how we're unified. He's the one that says, he's the judge. If he says something's wrong, it's wrong. And then he tells us how to deal with that and how to move with that even. This is all about the power. One of the things that the camp speaker said, again, at the end, he prophesied some wonderful things about our church and what he sees. But whether or not that takes place has to do with us. And how well we grab hold of having this one heart, this one mind. Knowing that there's only one lawgiver. That we walk, that we're doers of the word, that we walk this out. We have to cooperate with what God is saying. Pastor preached a sermon long time ago, and if you missed it, you missed a real good one. And in that teaching, he taught us that Satan really has no power. He has none. Zero. Zip. The only power that he has is influential power. So if he can influence Pastor Drew to think, there is something wrong with women. I mean, Tamara, she does this. She eats that cabbage. She does this. She does all these crazy things. Whether it's serious things or silly things, and you know, we get all opinionated on all of it, don't we? As he can bring a divide, then we're not, the two become how many? One. One heart, one mind, one way. And it's not his and it's not mine. It's us submitting to God's ways. As the way we conduct ourselves with each other. And so is true as a body of Christ. So if the enemy can whisper in your ear and get you to start making judgments, and oh, don't we love to share our opinions? I just don't think that Pastor Drew should have. Well, I don't like the way Pastor Tamara, that lady in the kitchen, she just really bothers me. Right? These little foxes, is what the Bible calls it. These little foxes spoil our vine. And when we grab hold and really unify greater than we ever have before, and trust me, we're doing some things right. I mean, that camp speaker was like, whoa, I travel all over the place. This is cool, Pastor. Good job. No, good job. You know what I mean? We can teach it all day long, but someone's got to be the doers. And many of us believers here have decided that we want to be doers, and we're going to be doers. And in being those doers, people can see, whoa. And all the prophecies, and there's many, about the power of God that will take place here at Hope. Here's why it's going to take place. Because everything that we are, we're accelerating it. You know, you can always push it up, don't you? I don't care how good you're walking this out. I know you can walk it out better. That we take thought, you know, thoughts captive. Maybe you're so disciplined, you don't even ever speak any trash. But do you think it? Are you careful to take it captive and say, you know what, Lord, forgive me for that? Man, that's not of you. I mean, trust me, we all can up our game. And as we up our game, and as we walk in this, we'll walk in the prophetic word that has been spoken to our church. And it's, trust me, it's going to be a blessing like nobody can imagine. But we got to grab it and we got to do it. And every one of us, from individuals to a body to families, we are going to, oh, we're going to be glad that we obeyed God. We have no idea. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, we've done some tasting, but we haven't even got to the main buffet of what God has for us. And so we need to just set our mind. This is how we roll. Amen? And the camp speaker said something. He said, taking care of yourself is a full-time job, is what I've learned. And we get so busy trying to take care of the person next to it, all these judgments, all these criticisms. Shh. Shh. Remember what Joshua told the people? Shh. Not even a sound. Boy, our mouths can get us in trouble. It's what kept the Israelites out of the promised land initially. Yep. It's why Joshua, as he's taken that second generation in, told them, shh, not even a sound. Be quiet. Let's let us be quiet. Amen? If we don't have something edifying, shh, not even a sound. If you don't have something that's of God to say, shh, not even a sound. Nobody needs our opinions. What we need, you know what, is the words of God, the heart of God, the mind of God, that we will walk in all that God has for us, the fullness of God. Amen? Amen. All right, that was a good word. That was a good word. Thank you. Will you pull those scriptures for me? I told the first service that I would have them, and I know that you have them now. Our graduates, we just had some scripture. Scripture's powerful. Scripture's important. Amen? And so is that one of my scriptures? Yes, it is. Okay, so Proverbs, you guys are going opposite of me. So Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. You know what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I want the graduates to just write this down as you, it's good for all of us, the word's for all of us, but we're just focusing a little bit of focus on the graduates right now. You know what? We need to inquire of the Lord. Well, we sure come up with some, I'm a this, I'm a that. Inquire of the Lord before you figure out what you're doing. Amen. Next scripture. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen? God's got a plan for your life. Next scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Amen? And then last but not least, Proverbs 16:3, commit your ways to the Lord. Submit and trust them to him, and your plans will succeed, and you will respond to his will and guidance. Amen? So that's good for all of us. Graduates, you're probably figuring out your next step, so that's just a little extra focus for you to have the word. You can get this all on Facebook Live. It's always posted, so you can grab those scriptures off of there if you missed them. And that's going to conclude our service. Happy Father's Day to all of you.